So welcome everybody to Proactive Support for Link Server. My name is Nick Rosenfeld. I'm a director responsible for Link Online support and some pieces of Skype commercial support over in CSS. I'm here with Keith Hanna, the world-renowned author of Mastering Link, and he'll be giving this copy away to someone at the end. So if that's hopefully a reason to stick around. Hopefully we'll give you more than that just to stick around. But that said, in support, it's no secret. First and foremost, our goal is to fix the customer's problem. If you call in, we want to take care, resolve the issue, get the service back up and running. That's number one. Second, though, you know, contrary potentially to popular belief, or it's a little counterintuitive, but we want to put ourselves out of a job. We don't want customers to have to call in to have problems with our software. We want the software to be intuitive, to be reliable, and to run effectively. And if you do have a problem, we want you to have all the tools and everything at your fingertips to be able to resolve the issue on your own without having to call us. How do we do that? We do that a lot of different ways. First, it's a strong relationship through feedback and talking to the engineering teams and making the product better. First and foremost, we want that product to be better. And then there's IP. There's a lot of different teams, not just support, that work on TechNet articles and KB articles and making sure that we have all that right guidance at your fingertips so that when you're looking to deploy or to troubleshoot a problem, you have that at hand. The third, which is really what we want to talk about today, is automated tools. How can we use software to look at the health of your environment and proactively tell you when there's something that's likely to cause an error in the future? So we want to be able to predict that, tell you exactly with actionable steps what you can do to resolve that so that your users don't incur any outages. And so that's really the goal of this session, is to go through a variety of these proactive support tools. So we'll start, and the two we'll spend the most time on are RAP as a service, which Keith will talk about in great length at the second half. We'll start with System Center Advisor, but we'll also talk briefly about things like Best Practice Analyzer and what's the evolution of that looking like, support diagnostics, and some of the resource kit tools that are out there that you may have used, you may not have used, you may not use to its full extent. And then additionally to just what does every tool do, we want to spend a little bit of time looking at the architecture so that you can make that right decision, understanding how the tool works underneath the hood and figure out which one or which ones of these are best for your situation, your environment. So from an agenda perspective, we'll start with System Center Advisor, then BPA and Support Diagnostics, and I'll switch it over to Keith to talk about ResKit Tools, Link RAS, and then he'll tie everything together and really tell the when, the how, and some key differences between all of the solutions and tools that we've talked about. So were any of you in my System Center Advisor session last year at the Link conference? All right, so no one. So good, we'll do an overview of what the service is. Is anyone familiar with System Center Advisor? All right, so a handful, good. And then we'll talk about some of the differences that we've shipped in the last 6 months, most notably support for Link 2013, so we now do 2010, 2013, and mixed environments, and also about the SCOM attach story, because that's relatively new, the past 6 months. If you're running SCOM in the environment and you want to take advantage of System Center Advisor, there's a connector that lets you take advantage of both and have SCOM as your one-stop shop for all your monitoring needs. So we'll talk about that, we'll do a demo. So what is System Center Advisor? Well, the basic definition is a cloud health assessment service. It's a small application that will run on all of the servers you want to monitor, your Link servers, your Exchange servers, your Hyper-V, your Windows, your SharePoint servers, your SQL servers, and that monitors the health of the environment and pushes up a lot of configuration information to a cloud service hosted in Azure, run by Microsoft. We look at all the data, we analyze it, and we display the best practice information in either SCOM, if you're running the SCOM attach story, or in a web portal that you can have access to and see very actionable information about the environment. It's always running, and by that I mean not real time, but it's running every 12 hours without any interaction from you. So it's something that once you deploy, you're going to get the advantage of anything that's changed in the environment and really the periodic checks. So the benefits and features. First and foremost, the bread and butter of Advisor is to proactively identify configuration problems. Things such as certificate. A certificate that's expired sounds basic. You'd be surprised how many calls we still take to this day because there's an outage, because a cert's expired, and it wasn't caught. So we want to identify those, let you know exactly that it's happening and how many days on what server and the steps to renew that certificate. And again, so that's proactive. When that happens, when that alert fires, there's no problem for the users today, but if you don't take care of it, there will be an outage, and so we want to make sure you take care of it. Next is reducing downtime and resolving issues faster. While that's not the core tenet of Advisor, it's a great tool when you do have an outage that you can go to help resolve those issues faster. And so how do we do that? Well, remember on the last slide, I said that every 12 hours, we're pushing a ton of configuration data from your environment up to the cloud. So that's output of most of the GET commandlets in Link, information that we get via AD or from SQL, all sorts of data points that relate to Link, we push that up. 12 hours later, we do that discovery again. That means that we can easily tell what changed. And I think this is true of everyone in here, whether we're working with an experienced Link admin or our grandma with a printer problem at home. First question we ask is, did it ever work? And if the answer is yes, we ask, what changed? This helps you answer the what changed question. It's not going to tell you that Keith Hanna changed a setting at 1:30 a.m., but it will tell you that a particular setting changed, and here's the previous value, here's the new value, and it changed within the past 12 hours. It's a huge step forward in troubleshooting issues, and that's one of the System Center Advisor areas that customers really love and the pieces we get the most positive feedback on. All right, so how does it work? So the service itself is built and operated by the System Center product group at Microsoft, and so it's maybe no secret that it makes sense because it's them that this is built on top of Management Pack technology. You don't have to have SCOM, though, to take advantage of SCA, System Center Advisor. What happens when you install the agent is it has a modified version of the Management Pack that gets installed on the machines underneath the hood so that we can do the data gathering and analysis. Now, the other piece is a lot of the servers that you want to monitor are not going to be on the internet. So how do we do that? So the System Center Advisor bits are really broken up into two different roles. There's the agent that you can put on machines that are on the private network. Those are the ones that will do the gathering of data. And then there's the gateway role that you put on a machine like on your edge or a machine that has access to the internet. Those are the ones that will take the cab file of information and push it up to the System Center Advisor service, which will analyze, aggregate the data, and then display any errors, warnings, and all of the configuration history and the change history into that System Center Advisor portal for you. Next is we do add data points on a monthly basis. There's more configuration points that we think are valuable that we add, and there's also new rules as we start seeing issues that a lot of customers see. We'll publish those rules, and those will be pushed down through the agent so that you can take advantage of them. Now, System Center, the product group, they own the service itself. But they don't have the domain expertise in Link or in Exchange or whatever workload you're monitoring with Advisor. And that's where the support team comes in. We have visibility into how customers around the world of all sizes use our products in many different ways. And so we have very good insight into what the top issues are and the areas that customers are prone to misconfiguring or having problems with. We look at those top issues and the ones that are broadly applicable are the ones that we add to System Center Advisor. So I gave the example of certificates. There's certificates, there's multiple NICs on your mediation server that are on the same subnet. Why is that bad? We'll tell you, we'll detect that, and you can make a decision on it. That's something you want to fix in the environment. Then there's less technical issues, but things that as a Link administrator, you definitely want to know. So for example, the version of Link that you're running is going out of the mainstream support. You may not catch that through any other communication channels, but if we detect it, we certainly want to let you know about that. So a variety of types of rules and IP, all delivered, coded by the support teams, and tested and really brought to you by System Center. So it's a good partnership between the different teams. Now I want to talk a little bit about the Advisor connector for Ops Manager. This is what I think brings this service and makes it really enterprise ready. And as of last month, I think the largest deployment we have, which isn't just Link, it's across workloads, is a customer that has 1,600 agents running. That would be a pretty difficult thing to pull off in the old Advisor model, but with System Center Advisor, the SCOM connector, it's a lot easier to pull off. And so System Center 2012, SP1 with RU2, you can download this free connector. And now take advantage of your Ops Manager console as your one-stop shop for your monitoring needs, your real-time monitoring for SCUM, and your best practice configuration with Advisor. So easy enablement. Instead of going to every server and installing the agent and downloading a certificate and so forth, you could do it all from the Ops Manager console. You pick the servers that you want to opt in, and the agents will be installed underneath the hood. And then you can view all the alerts in Ops Manager as well. And one of the big advantages there is you can take advantage of the notification and ticketing systems and everything else that, that SCUM brings you. So just briefly, how does that work, which I talked somewhat about. Sign up in an onboard advisor. You don't have to go to the website anymore once you install the connector. Just through your Ops Manager console, you're able to go, and it'll have a wizard to sign up. That management group is registered against Advisor. You'll have to tie it to a Microsoft account or an OrgID account, and that's how we identify you, and you can give other users access as well to view the alerts. Opt in the agents. The management servers will then download the certificate, the management packs. The agents will download the management packs from the management server. The agents will run the scan. That all the data that's gathered is gathered in XML format, so you can archive that. There's complete transparency in what's being uploaded to the cloud, plus we have the full privacy statements online. But no PII, I think there are server names that are gathered, but that's it. We certainly don't use this data or share it with anyone else, even within Microsoft. So you can read the full privacy statement online as well, and then certainly be aware that that data is in plain text on the machines before it's uploaded. You can view that, archive it, and you know exactly what's being sent up. So the CAP files are sent up, management servers are synced, and then you can see your alerts either in the web portal. Even if you're using SCUM attached, you do have access to the web portal on systemcenteradvisor.com at any time to see your entire environment, or just through SCUM. So we'll do a demo here. And I will start with the portal, and then we'll look at SCUM. So notice you can pick a Microsoft account or an org ID. And Keith was signed in here, so let me sign him out. All right. All right, so this is another advantage if you're a consultant or a partner and you have multiple customers. You can use your same org ID or Microsoft account, tie it to as many accounts as you have, or environments that you have access to. You can pick which one you log in. We'll look at both here. I'm going to start with LinkConf 2014. And here you can see a total, kind of a summary of the number of errors and warnings in the environment. So servers with critical alerts, servers with warnings, and servers without alerts as well. And you can see the five most recent alerts here, which is somewhat useful, but you probably want to drill down a little bit more. So you go to the active alerts, and you can see that we have a bunch of SQL ones, but you can sort, for example, if you want to see the link ones. And here I can see that the run as account has not been set. For full discovery for link, and SharePoint is another workload that requires this, you have to go one extra step after configuring Advisor and setting up a run as account so that we have full rights to do the discovery. So this is RTC Universal Server Admin group. You need the account to be part of that group. If you forget, Advisor is meant to be easy, actionable. We have a rule. So that rule will pop up and tell you exactly how to create that if you've forgotten and you didn't do that during the deployment. Every single rule will have a link to a knowledge base article that was authored specifically for System Center Advisor so that it's very actionable, it's tied to the rule, it's not some random piece of content that you have to decipher. The other piece is here, you can vote on the rules, or not really vote, but send feedback on whether it's useful or not. We do look at that. Again, this is meant to be useful, actionable. If we have a rule that's being frowned upon a lot, or that's being ignored, because you certainly have the opportunity to say, you know what, I acknowledge this rule may be against best practice, but there's a reason why my link environment's configured this way. Ignore it. I know. I don't want to see this alert ever again. You can do that. However, we'll look at this because if there's a high percentage of customers that are ignoring a particular rule, that we need to double click internally and look at, is this a good rule? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's causing more spam than anything else. We'll disable that rule because we want it to be as useful as possible to everyone. So you do have that capability to ignore a rule or alert. Now the next piece is viewing the configuration, and I'll do that in the other environment here. So we'll switch to SCA attached. And go to the configuration. And so you can navigate for every server in the environment. So here I'll go to my standard edition server, and you can see that we gather quite a bit of link specific information. These are all the link classes that we have. A lot of them correspond directly to get commandlets, but it gives you all the information just at your fingertips. Others are really don't map one-to-one with the commandlets, but they're information that either customers have asked for or that we think are useful to know. And this is an example. How many enterprise voice enabled users do I have in the environment? How many routes do I have? How many normalization rules? You can have that just easily at your fingertips. And then the other piece is the historical context. So like I said, every 12 hours, we take this snapshot about your configuration so we know exactly what changed. And so let's say that I want to see when QoS was changed in the environment. I can do a search quite fast. And you can see that on this date, enable QoS changed from false to true. So that's what I was talking about in that, hey, troubleshooting scenario. Anything in that list in the configuration that I showed you, we track in that fashion. And then finally, you can add, this is fairly basic, but you can certainly give others rights to either just view the advisor information or to be advisor admins to the environment. And so you can add their org ID or their Microsoft account. You will get a summary email once you're at that email account every week on all the alerts and so forth. But you will not get an email for every alert that's fired. You can either use SCOM for that if you're doing the attached scenario, or you actually have to log into the console. So SCOM scenario, which I've mentioned a few times, let's take a look. It's a bit of a resolution issue here. Let's bring that as high as possible. So once I've installed the connector in Ops Manager, you now have a System Center Advisor node. And that node will allow you to opt in your environment for Advisor, and it's very, very quick. And then you can go to Advisor Managed and actually add machines to opt in and monitor. You find the servers, add them, and that's all that you really need to do. And then you can see if they're in a healthy state and if Advisor's been properly deployed to them. From a monitoring standpoint, you can look at these separately under the System Center Advisor Active Alerts, and you can see all of the advisor alerts, all the specific information, the same information you would see in the portal. You can close the alert. What does closing the alert mean? That means, hey, I've taken care of this issue. I've resolved it. I don't want to see it anymore. Close. You don't have to do that, though. The next time Advisor runs, it'll detect that an issue was fixed, because that condition is no longer true, and it'll auto-close it, and you won't see it in the list anymore. But if you want to manually do it, get it out of your view, you can certainly do that. And then you can see the configuration information as well, which will take you outside of SCOM and then bring you directly to the website. So pretty excited about this. Like I said, I think 1,600 agents is the biggest deployment that we know of out there. So there are some big enterprise customers using Advisor and taking advantage of this. So, all right. So as far as global availability, English only, but it's available in all these geographies. So hopefully that hits most of the folks in this room and most of the folks listening. And then licensing, the big announcement was kind of last year at the conference, but it is free if you're not familiar with the service. There's no cost. I'm not trying to sell you something here. This started out as a benefit of software assurance. That wasn't working, and the decision was made about a year ago to make this a completely free service. So systemcenteradvisor.com, no more free trial because, again, it's free. All right. So really quickly on two other topics before I turn it over to Keith. Everyone's probably familiar with the Best Practice Analyzer. A lot of products have them, including Link. I want to talk about the evolution of that. And so the way we're thinking about this for the Exchange, SharePoint, and Link workloads is rebranding this to Office 365 Best Practice Analyzer. That doesn't mean it's only available if your workloads are in the cloud, But what it does mean is that it has an on-premises component, and it understands your on-premises environment and your rules, but it also understands the hybrid deployments and then the cloud pieces of it. So this is very new. We don't have any live rules for Link yet, so I'm not going to demo anything, but it's something that I do want to raise awareness to. There is a beta of this that you can download with Exchange rules. There's not a full rule set yet, but that's something that the teams are working closely on. And you know, when Keith is up here talking about Link RAS, he'll mention this, but I'll mention it here too. The idea is to have all the exact same advice and rules. So you know, Link RAS has many more rules than Advisor, and he'll talk about why and some of the reasons. But we want, if a rule fires in Advisor and it fires in another engine, we use the same back-end database to track which KBs we're linking to and really the information and the advice that we give you. The last thing we want to do is have one tool say X and another tool give you different information. So we're very cognizant of that and very diligent about having the same IP in the back end that's driving all this. And then finally, a little bit on support diagnostics. So those of you that have called Microsoft for support, over the past couple years, you've probably been sent a link and, hey, go click this. It'll go gather information that I need. And this really started internally for our own purposes. When we take calls, whether it's a Link client issue or a Link voice issue, there's the same type of information that we want to gather every time. On a Link client, we want to know versions. We want an ETL file. We want the UCC API log file. We want a bunch of things, and it's just time-consuming to go save them one at a time. So we built these packages, and Permal, who's actually in the room, built a lot of the Link packages. And the idea is to automate that and grab them all and really facilitate your job as the customer or even maybe your end user if it's a client issue. Just go double-click this. You can run it. It'll package all the information up. Well, over time, not only we figured that this isn't just valuable to support, but a lot of administrators out there can take advantage of it as well. In parallel, we added the capability of having rules inside the packages. And since the packages are broken up by scenarios, so Link conferencing, a Link SQL issue, we have one, a Link sign-in and authentication, and so forth, just by which package you're running, we have a pretty good idea of the type of issue you're having. So we can have very targeted rules that pertain to that scenario built into the package. And so as you're running it, while it's mainly a data gathering tool, it will analyze some data, and it will, without sending any data to anyone, will tell you exactly what it's found. And if there's an error or warning, and point you again to some content that gives you more details on how to resolve the issue. But in its most basic form, certainly useful for data gathering, especially that client package when you're dealing with end users. So, last year, we talked a little bit at the conference in this session about Fixit Center Pro. That was a portal that wasn't the most visually appealing, but that was our first stab at getting a beta out there of exposing these directly to you so that you can take advantage of them without having an assisted support case. That's evolved, and so that portal, home.diagnostics.support.microsoft.com, is where you can get access to 66 of those packages, 7 Link packages, but there's some memory dump ones, and you name it, all the products in Office and Exchange and Windows and SharePoint and so forth have their unique diagnostic packages. So certainly something that we want to raise awareness to, because that's something that's available out there to everyone. So with that, I will turn it over to Keith.
I think this is, yep, we're on. So first of all, I'm Keith Hanna. As Nick says, I've written this book that we'll give away at the end, Mastering Link Server. As my day job, I work as an architect within our premier support organization. I help drive the likes of workshops that our engineers would deliver to customers and through partners. And it's our team that built RAS, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So first of all, I'm going to talk about the resource kit. So just a quick show of hands. There is an assumption that everybody has used the resource kit, but I do like to check. Everybody's at least heard of a resource kit. I see one hand has gone up, smiles, right, that's good. Okay, so a quick review of what the resource kit is. You know, we have many resource kits. All our different products typically have got them. They started sort of way back when. They're fundamentally a set of tools, sometimes scripts. We used to have the LCS scripts in around OCS and LCS days. But also quite a, well, in the olden days, they also had a book associated with them. We've sort of shied away from that more recently and focused more on the TechNet documentation. But really, it was typically a group of tools that were useful. Different phases of a rollout and sort of support and operations is what we'll focus on today. But it's a bunch of tools that didn't really have a home, but together they are a useful package that we provide and enable. From a support perspective, they're typically very targeted to particular scenarios and configuration analysis that we're doing. If that matches what you have, that's great. It's worked. It'll do what it's supposed to do. If it differs, you're kind of on your own. We don't. Premier Support doesn't support them. Nick's organization doesn't support them. It's very much as is. If it works, it's great. That's what we meant it to do. If it doesn't, well, sorry. Raise a case, and we'll help you work through the issue. So with Link 2013, I've called out. We have two specific resource kits. There is the resource kit itself, persistent chat resource kit, but also the RASCs. Have anybody heard of the RASCs? Again, a couple of nods, a couple of hands. So the rollout and adoption success kit. We first sort of introduced this in 2010. It had a slightly different name. I think it was a PSK, Project Success Kit. The idea behind this is it's a lot of almost guidance on how to enable user adoption. So it's not really aimed at an admin. It's more trying to get users to buy into Link, and you know, things like posters, things like flyers, rollout plans, project plans, how to distribute devices, advice like that. Even guidance videos, so you can create a SharePoint site and point users to that in terms of how to use the product. So it's very much focused on adoption. Some of the older ones, the 2010 one particularly, had templates for t-shirts, so you could have a user day and give out free t-shirts and stuff. I think that's out of the 2013 one now, but it's all that sort of stuff. It's about getting users enabled. The success of Link is very much about users at the end of the day. So that's all I'm going to say about the RASCs. There's links here. You can follow the links sort of at your leisure whenever these sessions are made available. What we're going to focus on is the proactive tools within very much within the resource kit itself. I call out two of the persistent chat ones here. Any users of persistent chat in the room? Kinda, not sure, maybe we have. Yeah, okay. So persistent chat is gaining momentum, definitely based compared to group chat in the previous versions. I haven't got details on these, but I wanted to highlight them. They're very much around usage, size of rooms, what sort of rooms, average message size, number of posts, all that sort of data. It's quite useful from an operations and support perspective to be able to report that back through management chains. And very much that's the focus of a lot of these tools. So just flicking through. Bandwidth Policy Service Monitor. There's three out of five of these tools are very much focused around call admission control and enabling call admission control in your environment. Not necessarily enforcing policy and restrictions of calls, but these allow you to monitor them. So just turn it on. We'll start to collect the data. For this one in particular, we have this tabular view. It'll show us on the left-hand side the servers that are enabled for call admission control. So there's going to be one server in each site that is responsible. They'll replicate all their messages around who's using, not specifically who, but how much data is going to be used across these links. And this allows you at a glance to be able to see this. There's a button in the top left, yeah, up there, which allows you to update now, so you'll get a right now point of view on this. It shows the live calls, audio and video. We don't have any desktop sharing type data on this, but it gives you a good idea of how much of your network is being utilized by Link at any given time. So what can we do with that? The Bandwidth Utilization Analyzer builds on that data. So this one, we have to enable logging. It's just a quick enable logging parameter on one of the CS commandlets. But here we're going to capture all those logs of who's making calls, when they're being made, what's the current utilization, and then we can graph it, and then we can start to see trends across our links. Any of the sections that are highlighted in red on the screen allow us to filter, so we can start to see certain areas of our network break down, how much audio is being used, how much video is going to be used there as well. So they're very useful from a capacity planning perspective. DB Analyze is the one tool that's a command line tool, so I haven't got a screenshot. But it allows us to see some reports on the databases that we have. Diagnostics, user data, conference, MCUs, and disks. Probably the most useful one I find is the MCUs one, because it gives you the status, how many people are being connected to each MCU on each server. User data and conference, I'll call out, they're specific to individual conferences and individual users. So if you know users are having problems, you can fire this up and have a look. But from a proactive perspective, really, the MCUs is probably the most useful one. I will highlight here my comment about the supported as-is piece. The documentation is wrong. It's very 2010 focused. I think somebody forgot to cut and paste it. But it refers to the RTC database. Within Link 2013, we need to point to the RTC local. If you actually just run the tool by default, it tries to connect to RTC, so you have to add in that switch to say RTC local. So the final cold mission control one is the network configuration viewer. If you're trying to get a picture of how your network's looking, what sort of policies you have applied, it's quite hard to do from control panel within Link. Everything's tabular. They're actually on different tabs. So you have sites on one, subnets on another, policies on another. You have to flick back and forward. Here, we can see very quickly the picture. It's just a simple site environment. I have a couple of sites and connections between them. But I can see what policies are being applied. The little gray box on each of those sort of green and yellow boxes allows me to expand into that in more detail, so I can then see the subnets that those are going to apply to. But very quickly allows you to see a picture of your environment, where you have policy applied and where you haven't. So if some people are having calls come through when you expect it to be blocked by call mission control, you'll start to be able to see that here as to why. So the final tool in the response in the resource kit is the Response Group Agent Live tool. This is the only non-administrator tool. People using response groups in the room? Yeah, couple. Okay. So this is very useful, certainly for users who are in multiple response groups. This particular tool, roll it out to the users. They can sign in or sign out of all their response groups in one go. You can see the response groups you're a member of. The one we've highlighted here, the one in the middle, has been highlighted, but it shows us all the membership of that group, and we can see the status of other people. So if you are in a supervisor type environment, you could roll this out to supervisors. Maybe make sure they're busy so they don't start receiving calls, but they'll start to see who's busy, who's active, and who's available in those response groups. Also, by hovering over the response group, it will pop up and show us real-time stats on that group, how many calls are waiting, answer time, that sort of thing. So that's the resource kit. RAP is a service, also known as RAS. Is that familiar to anybody as an acronym? A couple of nods. The Link RAS in particular, or other technologies? We got? Not the Link one then. Okay. So for the benefit of everyone else in the room, we have a short interlude of a 2-minute video. That gives me a slight break so I can have a drink. Right.
Lately, you've had a little trouble sleeping, or eating, or thinking, or blinking. A few weeks ago, a bunch of servers crashed, which meant downtime, frustrated people, and $1 billion wasted. Things are up and running now, and everything seems fine. But what if it happens again? There's that risk assessment program you're used to, but it takes a bunch of days, and you're left waiting for results. And every time you want to get an updated assessment, you have to start all over again. Bunch of days, waiting for results. What you really want to do is check out the health of your systems right now and get expert results right away. Well, with Microsoft's RAP as a service, you can. RAP as a service is the most convenient and comprehensive way for you to assess your environment putting you in the driver's seat. Need a pulse on how healthy your systems are? Check. Want insight on looming risks and threats? No problem. Looking for guidance on how to make your environment more bulletproof? You got it. Here's how it works. Using the RAP-as-a-Service assessment tool, you collect data on several aspects of your environment, all the information we'll need to do a complete assessment. You then upload all this information to the secure and private Microsoft RAP Expert Analysis System. You quickly get a full picture of how your environment is doing, risk areas that need your attention, and even tips on how to make things better. And because thousands of Microsoft technology experts make continuous inputs into the system, you get our latest and greatest guidance as soon as it's available. You'll meet with a Microsoft engineer who'll review the results with you and give you expert advice and a remediation plan tailored to your organization. Best of all, with RAP as a Service, you get a full year subscription so you can run these assessments at your convenience and anytime you're feeling iffy about your systems. Find out more about Microsoft's RAP as a Service and get insight and peace of mind on your terms.
There we go. Let's get rid of the crickets. So RAP as a Service has evolved over the past probably 15 to 16 years. We started off, a lot of customers were just asking for Microsoft, can you come and assess our environment? Tell us what we're doing wrong, what's right, are we healthy? In the days of NT and Exchange 5.5, for anyone who remembers that far back, you've no hair, I can see. You've had the scars as well, so that, yeah. What it ended up being was an engineer would go, arrive on site and maybe stay there for a month, 6 weeks is not particularly unusual. Manually capture event logs, manually capture performance data, manually check all the configuration. Remember the raw switch that we had on the Exchange 5.5 admin tool, all this sort of stuff. We'd then take it away, we'd analyze it. That would take a long period of time as well. And then we'd ultimately come back and provide a remediation report, a risk report of what the health of the environment was about. Around Exchange 2003, we introduced this RAP, a risk assessment program, which enabled automatic collection of performance, event viewers. Basically, the engineer would still come on site, run a bunch of tools this time, so we'd reduce the time needed. We'd capture the data, we'd upload it to an early cloud, I guess. Analysis would happen overnight, we'd get a report, and we'd be able to present that back. So we reduced the time taken from sort of a month to 6 weeks down to, at worst case, about a week. So customers enjoyed that. The engineer, while they were on site, there was a lot of knowledge transfer. So if you're going through an upgrade, maybe asking questions about new products or particular problems you had, the engineer was there to help. A lot of the tools just collected data and you kick back, grab a cup of coffee and just wait in that type of scenario. So that was RAP. It covered about six products, AD Exchange, SharePoint, SQL, IIS, and another one that I continue to forget. But yes, clustering, that was the one, yes. Thank you. So whenever OCS came along, there was an identified need for an OCS equivalent of this. For reasons unknown, we called it a health check instead of a RAP. Exactly the same concepts. We collected performance data, configuration data, event logs, generated a report, and provided that back. But we had the OCS 2007, R2, and Link 2010 health checks. Meanwhile, RAP evolved into RAP as a Service. The concepts here are very similar. Data needs to be collected, analyzed, and report given back. But rather than an engineer come to site, the customer is not responsible for data collection. One of the common things we found was engineers would come to site and maybe a customer wasn't ready. Something had happened on the weekend, customer was up all weekend rebuilding servers, whatever. Permissions weren't set, the machine the engineer needed wasn't ready, so there's often delays. And where engineers were traveling, that obviously had knock-on effects as well. So with RAS, it's very much customer-focused in that it's on your schedule. When you're ready, you collect the data, upload it, it'll be analyzed automatically, but an engineer will then review that, generate the report, and provide that back. So it's very, very similar, but it's a lot more dynamic in that sense of timing. We also have a much wider scope, so we cover Clustering is RASD, but 16 products now as well. So things like IIS, group policy, we have desktops, we have AD, and all the major ones as well. So a bit of a comparison, the different flavors of RAS in this table. By reducing that travel need and the time on site from the engineer, the cost of a RAS is reduced as well. Feedback, so RAS has been around probably for about 2 years. Link itself was released last October, so we're coming up on 6 months. But the feedback over that time has been the customers actually do still want engineers to be on site. So here, we've reintroduced that concept for the knowledge transfer. It's exactly the same as a RAS, so the customer's still responsible for data collection. We'll do the analysis, and then we'll turn up with the remediation plan. Still the customer's responsibility to actually carry out the remediation plan, but we'll advise a lot more focused knowledge transfer in the couple of days that we have on site with that. We've simplified them as well. So OCS was probably one of the better health checks, RAPs, in that we only had about 4 different versions. So based on the size of your environment, 1 to 5 servers was tier 1, 6 to 10, tier 2, and so on. We had 4 different tiers for OCS. Once we introduced R2, that was another 4. There was no health check for OCS 2007 and OCS R2 2007. So if you were in that environment, you had to buy 2. But some of the other products actually had up to 12 different variations based on the size. So there's a lot more complexity. From a customer perspective, it was a lot more confusing in terms of what you actually needed and what our account managers kind of wanted to sell you. So RAS, there's only one option. You buy a Link RAS or you buy an AD RAS or Exchange RAS or whatever. It will cover all the products within, or all the versions of that product. So 2010, 2013, and a mixed 2010 and 13 environment are all supported. So RAS itself is a subscription service. You buy a license for 12 months. We'll see the sort of steps of execution on the next slide. But principally, the engineer is only available for the first execution, remediation planning, and presentation back. The rest of it is subscription. You as a customer collect the data. It's analyzed. You have access to the results of that analysis, but you don't have access to the engineer to necessarily explain it and go through what's needed to fix it. We've talked about the on-site aspects. As part of the subscription service, it's regularly updated. So monthly we do bug fixes, and quarterly we have major feature updates. This week we've announced CQM content is now in RAS, so call quality methodology. There's a couple of sessions on it here at the conference. But it's all about taking this QoE data to the next level, breaking down QoE and the call into these different legs and being able to analyze that. So that was introduced on Sunday's release of RAS. So any customer who currently has RAS has now got that. Any new customers will pick that up automatically. Now, the one I haven't really talked about here is the offline version of RAS. For any customers that are, and typically we're talking about government, military, financial type customers who don't allow data to leave their data centers, we're introducing the offline RAS. So it's going through pilot with AD and SQL. It's just completed those. But at the end of March, we're expecting Link to have that capability as well. So this time, it's not a subscription service. You buy it. It is available to be used for 12 months, but you aren't eligible for the updates. But you do get a free engineer for 4 days. So the engineer will also help you do the data collection as well because of this possibly sensitivity of that environment. And 4 days potentially of knowledge transfer and going through that analysis and reporting. So where are we? So I've probably talked about the steps here, but from a customer perspective, data collection and upload, and we'll see this in the demo, the tool that's used for this. Data collection, we sort of break that out into a couple of sections. So there's prerequisites that are going to be needed to be carried out. Has the account that's going to be used got permissions for the databases? So we're very heavy in terms of QoE and CDR analysis. Is WMI enabled in your environment? So we do a lot of WMI queries, remote PowerShell. What else do we get? Performance counters, event viewers, file reading, that sort of thing. So the customer has to prepare their environment for us first. execute the collection, upload it. There is a secure upload encrypted to our cloud. The analysis is going to be carried out in the cloud. Nick's already mentioned we have significantly more roles, and we have a summary table at the end that sort of compares each of the tools we've talked about. But it's about 350 data collection points, and that translates to about 1,100 actually analysis roles that we will provide feedback on. So that's all carried out in the cloud. And then the final bit here, the engineer is going to review that report, update it, provide some summary, provide remediation tasks from the back of that, and present that back to you as a customer. These are the bits that you're entitled to as the subscription. As much data collection and upload as you want, it's automatically analyzed as it goes up there. So just do it as regularly as you can. We'll go through the demo. We'll see why actually doing it regularly is beneficial. But there's absolutely no limit to the number of times you can execute this. So we're on to demo. What have we got? Ah, there we go. I should have brought my glasses. Right. So this is the RAS client. It's pretty straightforward. We'll look at the portal in a second, and I'll show you how we can download this. But here's what you would see when you run it for the first time. Now, the row here that I haven't selected, import and submit data collected from another machine, is not quite the offline scenario, but it's where we have a separate environment that we don't have internet access to. So we'll download this package, we'll copy it to that environment, collect all the data we need to, take that collected data back to a machine that has got internet connection, and then upload it. So we can cover that scenario as well. There's a couple ones I've prepared sort of over the last few days of samples here, but we'll just quickly go through a new assessment. The first thing it's going to do is ask me for the rules package. So you download this, run it, will open, and it'll start doing discovery. So what it's going to do in discovery, it's going to go out to AD, find the domain, continue where you left off. No, because we're doing a new one. So if we'd started this previously, we could pick up where we left off. But discovery here is looking at the domain of the machine that we're running this on, and then going to query AD to find out where Link lives. It's going to go to the CMS and then query the topology from there. And it's going to build up a map of our environment. Now, if I look at a few details, we're going to start to see all the data that we're finding. Databases, actual instances within those, SQL databases, IP addresses, servers, the roles that are on each server, simple URLs that we have as well. So anything we're going to have to find within Topology Builder, sites, pools, all that stuff is being collected here. I just move that across so you can see we've got completed here. We may possibly see some errors. We're still running. So it takes a few minutes to do this. Forest, domains, those sorts of things. Once this is done, we're going to start collection. So there's a couple of phases to collection. The prerequisites I mentioned earlier that allow us to collect the data is the first thing we check. We don't, unfortunately, have any way of stopping if we find the prereqs not having been met, but we'll highlight those first. So if you monitor this for the first couple of minutes, it's just going to be prereqs that will be carried out. There we go. We've completed that. So if I start collection here, so you can see there's a counter, a bit of a description. This will just go on. Any of these ones with an exclamation mark at the start is a prereq collector. So here, this particular one is checking that we have users defined for synthetic transactions as part of the health configuration. It will do that for each pool, and we'll flag that up under the view details. Ta-da. We'll start to see some failures here. So these are other ones that are running. They're ones that have run previously. But you can see ones that have failed. We can highlight linksds.com. Once that expands, that's either going to be our domain or our link organization, or rather our forest or link organization. But expanding it, we can see what one has failed. So we can then go on to this unexpected error. That's always a good demo to show. But bringing this out, the first couple of paragraphs are really a bit of readable text that, as an admin, you could probably work out what the problem is with this. And the rest is for our support teams if you do log a case for this. In this particular case, we failed to collect against the domain or forest here. We haven't retried it. Rep admin is not recognized as the name of a commandlet function program or whatever. For those of you that also cover AD, that's part of the AD tools, checks for replication, replication status within an AD environment. So that's one of the things we would check for as an example. So I'm just showing you here by node. We could drill down to each of these and see, but over here, the details are by collector. This is more useful from a prerequisite check-in perspective once it opens. Wrong window. So by collector, we can see at the top, AD administrative tools are not installed. So that actually ties into the one I showed on the other tab. We can look in here, a bit more details. Again, unexpected error. But we failed to collect. I think, have I highlighted the wrong one? Oh, no, sorry, that's the prereq one. So that's our test that we know that's going to do. So every collector, almost every collector will have a prereq that is associated to it. So if you see one failure, you'll probably see multiple failures, certainly if it's prereqs. But here we can go back and simply retry each of the failed environments or failed collectors. So we don't have to run the whole thing again. If we run the whole thing, it'll take at least 4.5 hours. We collect performance data for 4 hours worth, and the rest is very dependent on where your environment is distributed. So, you know, if it's all in one place and we're collecting from the same place, a machine in the same location, it's going to be quite quick. On the other hand, if it's distributed globally, you've got delays of your network as well to consider. So once we won't get this completed here, it takes 4.5 hours, as I say. The next step would be to, it will automatically verify that data, do the checksums that it needs to do, but then we can submit it up to the portal. So if I flick back to our portal, get rid of that. There we go. So this is a portal. You can log into this, or at least log onto the homepage and browse some of the links for more information. services.premier.microsoft.com. This particular one's our test environment, so it's a UAT environment. I do have that right, yep. And as we log in here, we have three different roles that are available. So there's a customer view, there's a TAM, or technical account manager view, and then there's the engineer view. So I'm logged in as an engineer and a TAM, so I can see a little bit more than what a customer would see. And I'll highlight the differences really as we go through this. So it's just going to load up. It's our test environment, so I've quite a number of sort of temporary tenants in this. Manage and provision is all about enabling users, so that's an account manager role. If you as a customer want other people in your organization to see this, they're enabled through your account manager. So assessments here, I'm clicking the drop down, which shows me my whole list. As a TAM, I get to see that. As a customer, you probably only have access to one. If you're a partner and you manage customers, we have the ability to enable that, so you would also see a drop down list here. The other list gives us our current view, which is the latest data we've submitted, but also any historical data that we would want to see. Down here, we're going to see some info. Renewal date, it's a year subscription, if you remember I said that earlier. It's going to start, the subscription will start from when you download the client. So it's not when you upload the data, it's when you download the client. Some more info, support teams will ask for this. This portion isn't customer visible, it's because I'm an engineer in this role. As a partner, you might, or even as a customer, you might have different RASs, and as a user within that customer, you may only have permissions to see one or two of them. However, if you could see them all, they'd all be listed here, and you could choose which one you want to view. You can customize the name, so if you had environments that were highly protected, North American admins can only see North America, European admins can only see Europe, we're probably looking at multiple RASs. To be able to distinguish those, we can now add in a customized name here. Download and run is simply download the package that we have. the access key. This is what is used to encrypt the data to go back up to whenever it's been submitted. So you get access to that. Questionnaire. So the client that I executed for discovery and collection collects all the environments, all the environmental data that we can through automatic means. So scripts, PowerShell, WMI, SQL queries, all that good stuff. Within this questionnaire, really we're focusing on data that we can't collect automatically. So the first, if I even start it, the first one is what version of Office do you have in your environment? So we're looking at servers. We have no idea what's on the clients. If we could, in theory, query, find some clients and try to query those. But really, it's going to be much easier to ask. You just tick the boxes. What versions of Office are in your environment? Depending on your answers to questions, some are multiple choice, some are single answer only, so the radio button concept. But depending on those answers, they'll either ask more questions that are related. So if I ticked one of the other versions of Office here, so let's say 2007, and do the next one, it's going to ask me what service pack is on 2007. We have different experiences within Link based on what service packs are installed. So sometimes you'll get other questions, sometimes you won't. It just depends on the answers. But here, it's also things like operations. Do you have change control? Do you have incident management? All those sorts of questions that are we just can't capture automatically. So again, you go through that process, answer those questions, submit it. It would be analyzed, questionnaire. So the two bits that really that are of interest here on the portal are collected data and issues. So collected data, a bit like sort of what Nick had said in Advisor. We run pretty much all the CS commandlets, or the get CS commandlets specifically, and collect that data and send it back up. What we don't do is anything that's potentially private data, so things like get CS user, for example, where we get all the usernames, we're not going to upload that data. Simply, we do hold the configuration info. We don't flag any changes on the current versions of RAS between one execution and another. So this one's just, I can't really read that, get CS bandwidth policy configuration. It's just the output of that data. We also provide this in the Word doc report that the engineer will provide at the end. The portal is a lot more, there's a lot more data on the portal. We provide all the output of that commandlet. In the Word doc, we're sort of constrained with the size of the page. So there are some commandlets that just the scroll bar, you know, you can scroll quite a bit across. We don't include that data in the Word doc. Some of the ones that I just highlight here. So server, one of the updates, I don't know if anybody noticed, we released our virtualization white paper today or yesterday. So there's a lot more information and guidance on how to virtualize and what specs to use and that sort of thing. So here, server spec. In the next update of RAS, we'll align this with that guidance. And in this case, we would highlight the fact that we only have one processor and we only have four gig of memory, if that's not a valid spec. But really, it's some of the info about your server environment. Some of the ones that are useful from an operations perspective, when we go through a patching exercise, in an environment like this, where we only have three servers, it's relatively easy to patch them all. In an environment where you maybe have 50, 10 in a pool over in Europe and, you know, 10 in Asia and 10 here, maybe you missed one. So run a RAS, it'll tell you exactly what server version, what build number, what CU you're running. Maybe you missed one. RAS will actually, not only will it show you here, but it will alert, and we'll look at the issues in a second, but it'll raise an issue and tell you that your servers are out of sync. They've got different patch levels within the same pool or within the same site. We also do that with SQL here, so we'll tell you the different versions of SQL. Really, you know, it's quite common we see customers will patch SQL, but they'll forget about SQL Express. They'll sort of think, you know, I think installed it, we don't worry about it. Here it'll show you all the different versions of SQL you have. Maybe you should actually patch SQL Express as well. Certainly our recommendation is you should. So quite a lot of these, as I say, are just configuration items. The ones I find interesting, usage stats and the server spec stuff, really. What should we look at? So things like, even the one at the bottom, what gateways are in use? So we query this. There are no gateways in this environment, but we will tell you the firmware version of each of the gateways that are being used. So maybe, again, you've patched some audio codes ones but missed one. So you'll start to see that info here. Some of the number of contacts we have. These media quality ones are all focused on CQM content. So they're taking QoE data and analyzing it to another level and highlighting sort of different issues within that. The test environment doesn't have a lot of data, so we'll skip going through a lot of those. I have some samples back in the PowerPoint we'll look at in a second with some results of data. So over to the issues bit. So here, as a customer, this is what you'll keep coming back to each time you run the data. We're going to trigger critical, high, medium, low, and informational items based on our recommended practice. So Nick mentioned the number of rows that we have, where they come from. We share where we have a row that we're going to enter into any of our systems. We all share the same rows database. So maybe Nick doesn't want to put it in Advisor for whatever reason, but we have it. It's all in the same common place. So we have the common sort of code base almost for our rows for text and what have you. So again, as Nick said, if you get something triggered in one environment, you'll get exactly the same text, exactly the same recommendation in another. Here, we have different filter status. So if I just hover over that one, active is what really you're going to be looking at for most. Inconclusive means we haven't got enough data for that particular row that we need to recollect. Maybe there was an error. Resolved is where we previously had an issue in an earlier execution of collection of the data, but now in the latest analysis, it's been fixed. Over here, we're going to have a bit more detail about this particular one. This is a question from the questionnaire. When we entered it, when we last updated it, the values, as an engineer, I have the ability to change these. Depending on the role or the issues, some of them allow more change than others because it will depend on your environment. You know, call mission control is a good example. If you don't use it, any issue we flag on that is going to be irrelevant, so we can just ignore it completely, put it down to informational, or even take it out of the report just by simply seeing this. Bit of a description for the questions. We're going to include the actual question here, and then we're going to provide some of the information around that best practice. Here's where we're going to do some links out to TechNet if we need to. Just as a... If I close a few of these, it's not flagged this time. So in RAS, we will even highlight whether you have System Center Advisor integration enabled or not. It's free. I would absolutely recommend everybody should have the Advisor integration. So we'll flag that up. So it's just an idea of the concepts where there are complementary tools. Just because you have one doesn't mean you shouldn't have the other. But one of the other ones I wanted to highlight, performance here. So we're going to see non-question ones where we're actually seeing an issue in the environment. We're going to tell you where that issue happens to be. This particular server has a problem with this particular performance counter. Between 2010 and 2013, performance counters changed. So we'll also highlight the specific performance counter and what version of Link you're running, so you can go back and monitor that in a bit more detail. We'll tell you the threshold and the type of threshold, so greater than, less than, or in between. And then we'll tell you the minimum, maximum, and average values that we collected, so you at least have an idea of what was happening. Maybe it was just a spike, so you'll see a low average, but a high maximum. Some of the other stuff around the privacy side of things, if I can see this. So one or more domain administrators have been enabled for Link. So we don't recommend any admin accounts are enabled for Link. In this particular case, we can't tell you what account that is because we'd have to have captured that user data, and that goes against our privacy principles. So what we'll do here, if we go into the details, and it pops up when it pops up, it's going to give us a count. So part of the text will say X number. So in this case, it's going to be 1. But it goes through that text, and it will tell us. I'll try clicking that again. it will tell us here. So we can't tell you what user it is, but here's a script. If you run that PowerShell, that will tell you what user it is, so you can go and address that and fix it. So again, we're not allowed to capture the user data, but we'll tell you how to find out particularly. We'll tell you there's a problem, we'll tell you where it is, and we'll tell you how to find it if we haven't been detailed enough. So running short of time, the last thing here is the report. So the report, as an engineer, I can create 4 different reports. The Word document, the presentation, a specific CQM document that goes very detailed into the call quality methodology stuff, but also an all issues document. So instead of giving you all the text, the pretty graphs that we have, we'll take a quick look at the report in a second. It's just a list of all the issues in a table format that you can maybe tick off as you go through and fix them if you need to. Where's my mouse? So if we go back to PowerPoint, so we've done that, done the portal. So some more of the data I just wanted to highlight here. These are from real customers, so I've cut out their names really. But the reports give us a it's almost a trended view. So previous day, previous 3 days, previous week, previous month, previous quarter, and previous year. How is the environment changing over that time period? So being able to run this regularly, you know, even if you run it once a week, you'll start to build up a sort of weekly trend as to what's happening. And we have those for most of our reports in the user statistics category. One of the ones I find quite interesting, conference size. So we did a study around OCS timeframe that said the average conference had 2.6 people in it. For this particular customer, 65% of their conferences have less than 10 people in it. Even being able to take that back to management and saying this is the type of ROI we're getting is quite useful, I think, especially almost 2% of their conferences on Linkit over 250 users, which is quite interesting. Clients as well, so we have a breakdown. Not only actual clients using Link, but clients connecting to conferences, and we've separated those two out. So you can see, you know, internally what clients are using. Useful, again, when you're doing patching. Have you patched, have all of those phones received that latest patch? Are the ones out there still connecting with an old version? And from a mobile perspective, we also include the actual device name and version of the OS, as well as the version of Link. So we can get very granular in this. In this particular customer, you know, we're only showing 10 items per page here, and there's more than 10 pages. So there's, you know, well over 100, I think there's 200 odd pages worth of data of all those different clients that are connecting, mostly mobile devices, as it turned out. So the different reports, I'll just quickly look at the Word doc. It's from the test environment, so you don't see the customer name here, but it is added in a live environment. So as an engineer, I need to fill in this, but this is the only bit I need to complete. Everything else is done on the portal. If there's a particular issue that's raised that I want to add a comment to, I do it on the portal. So the next time you run it, you still have that comment and you aren't sort of losing that. Here, really, it's going to be about a page of a summary. What are the major impacts? What's the risk to your environment? We're going to highlight here just a little picture management-like pictures. So we've got that. They also like scorecards, so we have scorecards. A category level scorecard further down. We have an issue level scorecard. So each of those categories we then break out and tell you which of those, what are the issues that are relating to that. So here you can even see one of them's been resolved. So we can tick that off. And that's through these demos, I've ticked and unticked that Office 2007 box through here. So that goes on down. The other one to highlight, if I can read that, is so under performance. So here again, management like graphs. So we have some graphs of the performance data collected over that 4-hour period. So depending on your business, it may have been a busy Monday, it may be the end of the month, it may be end of week, whatever. You're going to see different trends based on when you run this. Things like CPU, network, disk. Memory usage, all the usual stuff, but we also highlight things like concurrent calls on a mediation server, that sort of thing. All this raw data is available on the portal. So instead of filling the document with numbers, it's there if you actually want to go down and track it a bit further. So I get rid of that. The PowerPoint, I'm not going to go into the other details because I'm conscious of the time, but the PowerPoint is really that compressed into presentation format. So we don't call out all the issues and all the configuration items, pretty much just the scorecards. And then the final Word doc is the CQM version, so the detailed in-depth drive of CQM. So in terms of where we are, where we've come from, October was when we released, the start of October. We've delivered, I think we're going to hit our 60th delivery this week since then. So we've had a pretty good uptake already. Started off with 2013, full support for 2013. We also had configuration support and analysis for 2010. We didn't have performance counters. They were introduced in December. We also aligned our reporting. So if you do have other RASs, you'll see the same templates and a common sort of approach to that feedback. This week, Sunday, was our release of CQM. So we now have all that CQM data as a section in that report, as well as the CQM report as well. And then what's coming next is our scale. So we're moving, today we support 50 servers, and 50,000 users. We're going to scale that up to 85 servers and 150,000 users as our supported environment. And we're also going to have that offline capability. So if you remember back to the second or third slide with the table, the 4 days on site sort of for governmental, military, financial type institutions, that's going to come with the next release as well. And all along this, we've been releasing monthly bug fixes and minor updates as well. So really, how do you get a RAS? So it kind of depends on where you're coming from, whether you're direct to the customer or you're coming through a partner. So the customer perspective, do you have a premier contract, yes or no? This will make a ultimately the difference in terms of how you get it. Yes, it's through Microsoft. No, it's only available through a partner. But how it's delivered will differ as well, depending on what that partner relationship is between you and the partner. Microsoft always deliver RASs, so if it's direct through us, it's one of our engineers. That's pretty self-explanatory. Through the partner approach, on the other hand, still delivered by us. However, we have a couple of other links just to highlight. Delivered through a partner can mean two things. Is the partner managing your environment, or are they just providing support? If they're managing their environment, they probably want access to the data of the RAS. So they're going to be running it on a subscription basis. That's where we have Via Partner. So the partner will have access to your data. If they're not, and they're just providing support, consulting, that sort of thing, it's probably going to be better direct through Microsoft, because you as a customer are going to have access to the data, the partner's not. In the Via Partner approach, both the customer and the partner will have access to the data. And that's ultimately the difference. If you're a customer with a premier contract, you can still go via a partner. We have lots of customers who've managed service type scenarios, and this addresses that need as well. So it allows the partner to see the customer data, which they could see if they wanted to. It's just we provide that regular and reported approach. So that's it in terms of RAS. We have a couple of minutes left here, but really, the last slide is, how do we put all that together? We've talked about Advisor, BPA, the support diagnostics, the resource kit, and RAS. So they all have pretty much different overlapping, independent, complementary scenarios. It's a big table. I'm not going to go through each line of it. But some of the highlights, really, RAS is paid for. But for that, you're going to get things like performance analysis, CQM analysis. We have dedicated resources doing this every month, so you're going to get all those regular updates. But we also give you the engineer access as well, so you're going to get that. Scale with RAS is a lot bigger, so we're 1,100-ish roles. System Center Advisor, on the other hand, if you have SCOM, you know, you're going to get SCOM integration with that. Rules are being added, but it's on a much more sort of limited approach. And they're measured in the 10, I think it's about 50, is that? Right. Okay, yeah, so they're, and you know, System Center Advisor, again, is going to cover all those products as well. RAS will as well. We have 16 different products, but you're going to pay for each one at that price as well. all the way down to, you know, the BPA is online, so neither Advisor or RAS currently supports online capability. The resource kit, it's one tool for one job type thing, and that's kind of the different approach. So this is something really, depending on where you fit, one or two of these may fit, maybe all of them, somewhere in your operations approach. But it, just to give you an idea of the sort of differences we're trying to highlight. Really, I think we're almost, I think all these sessions have been finished and we're passed. But they're really here for related sessions. If you want more CQM, go to the capture the recordings. They'll be available in the next day or two. Deep dive in RAS, we go into a bit more detail about each of those three boxes. Very similar demo, so you know, you've seen pretty much a lot of that. But if you want more detail about how each of those boxes are completed, pick up the deep dive in RAS. And that's us. We're listed there twice. So we're good. So just a quick review. You know, we talked about RAS. We talked about System and Center Advisor. Talked about the high-level architecture of these. Hopefully, you got a bit of clarity on what each one does and how they fit together. And then some of the resource kit tools. You know, we know they're out there. We often say to customers to use them, but it's more to get you guys using them ahead of time as well. Click. So a reminder, evals, please. Go fill them out, give us the feedback. Things do change based on feedback. It's definitely one of our mantras. And then we're done. Any questions? Question at the back. No, so PSLP as a program, you don't need to be. You need to have Premier as a partner, which you do have as part of PSLP. So any, even a non-link Premier partner, so Premier support for partners, PSFP, is the minimum you would need to be able to resell this. And part of that is because you actually have access to all those RASs. It's not just a link RAS. Okay, so we will, what we did yesterday, we had a discussion about how we'd raffle this. So we did think about if you asked a good question, but yesterday we only had one question as well, so we thought that wasn't the best approach. Nick came up with a great idea about best dressed person, but we figured we couldn't work that one out either between the two of us. So what we did settle on was, today is what, the 19th? I figured, yeah, we don't have anybody who's in yesterday, so.
There you go.
Whose birthday is the closest to today? 23rd of February? Okay. So anybody's birthday in February? Oh, January? March? So we have September is currently in the lead. August? October's the other way. Oh, no, hold on. October's that way.
You don't count. It's October? Yeah.
Is October the... So, yeah, that would be.
That wins?
Yeah, I think that's.
All right.
I think October's the one.
May. May.
May.
Yeah,
May.
Both ways. February, there March, you go.
Yeah, I think May wins. I can't even work this out. This is Zimba.
I think May wins.
May wins?
Yes.
There we go. Thank you very much.
All right.
So thank you guys. Yep. Please, please, please do the evals, and hopefully we'll see you all at the party. And there you go. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
There we go. Thank you.